Let's do this, y'all. Welcome, 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 welcome back. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us tonight. The Afterthought Podcast Live is back. I got the gang here, Tiff and JP. We getting ready to get started. I had to come on with some vibes, you know, I'm feeling good, you know. So, yeah, nothing crazy, you know. I'm not a DJ, you know. But I want to come on here and start this thing right, you know. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. We in this piece. We got a dope show for y'all. Shout out to everybody checking in on the Facebook. Afterthought Podcast is live. I got the crew here. Let's get this thing started. Let's do our check-in. What's good, Tiff? How you feeling, sis? How's everything over there?
I'm good. I'm tired today. Today, okay. I'm a little sleepy.
Okay.
The weather is storming up here, so you know how the storm
what
is.
What kind of storming, though? What you mean storming?
It was storming earlier. It was raining and very windy and stuff like that. So
right.
It kind of like puts you in a light, relaxed mood.
Okay.
The weather is changing. It's nice outside, though.
Like stay in the house, put on some Netflix.
Yeah.
Text somebody. Not one of those.
You know, Netflix is being indicted.
I heard about it.
On that Cuties show.
Oh, yes, I did.
For child pornography.
Motherfuckers be doing too much. Come on. Yes.
Way too much.
That's crazy. All right, Jay. How you feeling, Jay? What's going on?
I'm feeling great. I'm tired too, but I'm still feeling great because after tomorrow, I got the extendo weekend. So,
I know you got
are
some
you
banks.
Off on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, question.
Yes. Yeah. I'm out early tomorrow, off Friday. I'm going to enjoy this indigenous
and Monday,
weekend.
Because
you know,
Columbus. Lying, motherfucker, right?
Yeah. Listen, the only Christopher I acknowledge is Wallace.
That's right.
Columbus is just but, damn thing.
But I will take the day off. Thank you, yep. Lying, motherfucker.
Right.
Thank
right.
you.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank
you. I see you got the cut too. You got plans. Yeah, you know, where you going this weekend?
You know, I'm gonna be in the DMV area.
Okay. Okay.
Catch up with a few of the fam for
Chocolate City.
Yeah, you know the vibe. Chocolate okay. City where Joe did the damn thing.
Yes, sir.
If you ain't listened to that comedy album yet from Chocolate City,
shameless stop plug. We'll take it. We'll take the plug. We'll take the plug.
Yes, that was a good one.
I appreciate it. That. Live from Chocolate City. That's my.
Yeah. But now I'm excited to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's good. Lakers,
catch up
is,
everyone.
Lakers is about to do the damn thing.
I said Lakers in five, Joe. I said it last week.
This is where we lose Tiff. Tiff is like, no.
I know. I said Lakers in five. Lakers in five. And I think
Friday going to be. It's okay.
You ain't grabbing okay. snacks.
It's okay. It's okay. We got a great show for y'all tonight. Thank you, everybody, yes. tuning in. Kevin Hill, what's going on? Danielle, Julian,
my
I appreciate
Uncle Kev.
Appreciate everybody.
Always hold us down.
We got a lot to tackle tonight. As y'all know, if I'm correct, right as of right now, Kamala Harris and the Vice President Mike Pence is debating it out right now. We saw the first debate. We already know what that looked like. And that was terrible. But I was talking to y'all before we got on here, and I said, one thing I know for a fact is going to happen is this is going to be what you're not going to do, hosted by Kamala Harris. You know what I'm saying? And when I say that, listen, you know what I mean, Tiff. Tiff, you a black woman. What you're not going to do is interrupt me like your boy did the other night. What you're not going to do is disrespect. It's going to be a lot of that. So,
but she's not a black woman, but she's
Come on, Tiff.
I know what you mean by that. She's a sister.
She's a sister.
She's an Indian lady.
She thinks Tupac is alive, but that's another conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of other people do too. I heard he had to move from Cuba once Obama started letting people.
But yeah, he's not gonna be able to say shit. Once a woman right. is gonna stand, you're not saying nothing.
Oh God. But so, I'm looking forward to watching that after the show.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
And
that.
we're gonna
I got my DVR recording it. I'm gonna watch it.
Look at that.
Next week's show.
Yeah, I got DVR.
I thought you said VCR.
Well, that's what I heard, Tiff.
I said, look,
VCR?
Yo. I still got a VCR DVD combo.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still works, but I got VHS.
He's selling. He's pitching his V. He's selling his old classic, his old Disney movies, ladies and gentlemen.
Bro, that's I still got a collection. I got a collection, Joe.
Listen, those are some of the best musicals, and we're gonna talk about that with Six John and Tim, two dope brothers coming on later on. We got Six coming on first. Talented brother. Like I said, singer, songwriter, producer. He's worked with some of the greats like Neo. I was even reading that he worked with Shaquille O'Neal, so you know we gonna ask him about that. We got to see how that was. But yeah, he's worked with some greats like Heather Headley, and he's also worked with the hit show Empire. So I'm glad to get him on.
And you know he a basketball enthusiast too, Joe.
Yes, I know.
So I know. Tiff, we gonna break this up into sections. I ain't even hold you.
Listen.
Tiff does this radio thing. And know him.
Yeah. Down and stand by. All right.
You got it.
Yep.
Shot at Trump. And then after that, followed by Six, we got my guy Tim Victor, New York native singer-songwriter, live music. I mean, I've seen this brother perform throughout the city, all over in different, you know, he performs internationally, and he's got some music that we're going to play tonight as well. We're going to play both of their music tonight, because that's what we do here on the Afterthought Podcast. We got to show love. But before I get to the music, the musical guest and our featured artist coming on, I gotta tell you about my trip to Six Flags real quick.
I'm
36. I have this thing where I get an itch.
Start the story off by telling me it ain't good already, Tim.
So whenever the nigga start with his age, he letting you know he wasn't ready. I get to Six Flags, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Six Flags is what it is, theme park. You're getting on roller coasters. Now, the good thing about going now during the COVID, obviously you got to, you know, socially distance and there's less people. You can get on more rides. So I was hyped to get in the park. And the first ride I got on was the Nitro. And those that know about the Nitro, that's a premier ride at Six Flags. That shit, you feel like you're about to die halfway through the ride. Like you might, you know, feel it in your chest like you're going to die. So we get on the ride. Mind you, I'm with my brothers, fam, a couple of my boys. And, you know, when the Nitro starts off in most roller coasters, it goes up slow. Like, you know, you get in that first. And out of nowhere, about a quarter way up of going up, the ride stopped, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. The goddamn ride stopped. Not only did the ride stop, that was my first ride. We just got to the park. So we all sitting there.
I'm panicking.
And you know, we've heard stories. We laugh at people. Ah, look at them. They got stuck. But when the shit happened to you, I was like, hold up. What's going on? So the guy comes on the speaker. He yells out, we did this on purpose. And I'm saying to myself, bullshit, you don't stop a ride on purpose. What the fuck is going on? I'm already trying to play detective mode. So, mind you, I'm still sitting like this, like a quarter of the ride, out of nowhere, ladies and gentlemen, huffing and puffing, comes a ill-built body chick that worked there. She's coming up the side of the stairs. You know the ladder space where you can come up?
Yeah.
And when I talk about she's out of breath, she's winded. And she comes up to my section and she goes, oh my God, who has it? I know somebody has it. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? She's like, who has the cell phone? Who brought their cell phone to ride? You're not all out of breath and shit. I'm like, miss, calm down.
You know why the fuck you can't have a cell phone on the ride?
Because I guess they want you to put it in the lockers and they don't want to be responsible for your belongings. That's why they say lock it up.
Damn, I thought somebody was having fucking surgery.
That's what I thought. Listen, she ran up that ride with that laundry bag body and scared the shit out of me. Let me tell y'all some afterthought. This was crazy. Because I'm like, out of all the people you send up, this the chick you send for the help when we in trouble on the ride? Come on. So she gets the phone. She goes back down. And the ride goes on. And I'm just like, when does that happen where we collecting phones on a roller coaster? Like, we confiscating phones? This is school now? Like you had to...
No, that shit is crazy.
Yeah.
How she knew you had a cell phone?
Because they have cameras in the command center area. So, you know.
Yo, I would have been pissed.
You want a fucking cell phone?
Listen.
Hell no.
And not only that... you know, they have the mask police at Six Flags. You know, they walk up to you and do this shit like they signaling a play in baseball. like it's real. What'd you say, Jay?
Looking like somebody. No, I said I'm already out here looking like somebody's backup.
looking like somebody's manager for the fucking AA Yankees, the Trent Yankees. But no, Six Flags was cool. I will say that, to say the least. Roller coasters is fun. The King of the Cow, that shit is wild, man. That shit.
Yeah.
Like at one point, I just closed my eyes and started praying because I just didn't know what else to do. Like, you going too fast. You're going 160 miles an hour in five
seconds. Have they put any new rides?
In 5 seconds.
Because I feel like
listen,
all of those rides is the, like, I haven't been on roller coasters in years, and I used to be on all the rides.
Right.
Where's Joe? I don't see Joe.
But all those rides now, have they put any new rides in the park yet? Because remember when Nitro first came out?
Yes.
And King of the Car first came out?
Yeah.
And then even years ago, now Joe, yeah. I don't know if you remember, but I'm taking back to like high school.
Go ahead, junior, take it back.
When they had remember the Batman and the Robin chiller? With a roller coaster finish, like it cut off. And then it came back backwards.
Comes down backwards.
The blue drink. The Batman was the blue one. The Robin was the red one.
Listen.
I think I got on
that
one.
Yo, I was crazy.
I think I got on that one before.
You know what's serious when you just, you know, we be excited to get on. And then when you on that shit, you know, it hits you like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, why did I get up on this shit?
I want to go skydiving, and I feel like once I get to the top, I'm like, somebody's going to have to push me out the plane, because I don't think I wanna I'm going to jump. You're just going to have to push me out.
Isn't that the one in Jersey? Isn't that the one in Jersey, Jay? The one that they have?
Yeah, they have one out there.
Okay.
They have one out there.
Well,
this is Meadowlands.
Let me make sure I got us loaded up. Shout out to everybody on the face. First of all, shout out to everybody laughing. Maria, Brandy. Robert, CJ Banks, what up, baby? I appreciate everybody. We live Afterthought Podcast. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to get ready to bring our first guest through, Southern California native, Six John. But before we do that, we're going to play his record right now. And then we're going to bring him in. He's here. He's in the building. Well, not in the building. He's in the virtual cloud. Let's just say that. Yes. He's in the virtual Zoom cloud.
He's in a virtual space.
So this is his new record, Grammy, on Spotify, Tidal, everywhere. And then we'll be back with Six John. This is Grammy, y'all. I'm loving that vibe, and he's here right now. Let's give him a warm welcome. Let's do it. Old school style. Clap it up. My brother Six John's in the building. What's going on, brother?
Yeah. How you doing, man? What's going on?
How are you? First of all, thank you for coming on the Afterthought Podcast. Shout out to Tiff. And just, you know, with everything going on, I'm glad you could take the time out, my brother, to come on here and chat with us about music, life, your journey, and just so you know, we can get to know you some more and let the people, you know, kind of get the inside and behind the scenes that we don't see, you know. So
absolutely, hey, it's an honor and it's an honor and a privilege, you know, to that you guys reached out. Shout out to Tiff too; she hollered at me. We made it real quick and simple.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's get right to it. Let's get right to it. I'm going to get it started. You're a Southern California native, singer, yes, songwriter, producer. You work with a lot of greats like Neo, Heather Headley. You worked on hit shows like Empire, which is, you know, one of my favorites, especially that first season. you work with Tyler Perry. So, I mean, we gonna go all over the place, but I just want to know, with everything going on, how have you been able to... you know, how's work been for you as an artist, as somebody that, you know, obviously works for yourself? How's that been before we get back into the journey?
Yeah, it's been a little tricky with everything kind of slowing down. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like a gift and a curse, because I had been working on a solo album that I started in January of 2018. So mm-hmm. having this downtime to kind of sit down and I didn't have any other priorities lined up allowed me to really lock in and finish what I had started, you know, 26 months prior.
Right.
And, so I completed that, and so it was cool. But yeah, it's been tricky navigating through this pandemic. But you know, God is good, man. So
always.
I got a roof over my head and gas in the car mm-hmm. and food mm-hmm. on the table. So end of the day, that's wealth, you know.
And he's been making sure you good for you've been doing this for, you know, probably 20 plus in the game.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, working with legends. So let's flip it. How did you get started in that? Take us back, yeah. like to the beginning. I want the origin. Was you like in the basement? You had the MPC. I want one of those stories. Like, how did you?
Oh, get, one of those stories. Oh, I got
it. Not that exact moment. But I'm saying, what is your origin story? How did you start to get into music? Earliest age.
So, I started. It's crazy. I was just having this conversation earlier with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So it sounds crazy, but you know, there's eight of us. I'm the sixth boy in my family. That's why my name is Six. That's my birth name, by the way.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
You answered the question and I didn't even know it. I was gonna ask that too, but go ahead.
I was gonna ask that too.
I've done one or two interviews before, so you know, I could segue through things. But no, like there was eight of us, and sometimes, you know, I come from the household, you gotta be in the house before the street lights hit. And so for those days when I had to come in the house, I don't know, well, initially I didn't know where it came from, but I was really fascinated with words really early. So when I couldn't go play outside, I used to read the dictionary. Hmm. And it sounds crazy, like I got teased, my homies used to talk crazy about me, like, bro, like, what is wrong with you? Like, okay. I'll just be reading, like, I just wanted to know what words meant. I remember writing my first song when I was like 10 years old, and I wrote it about a girl. Yeah, and I would take songs that was on the radio, like N.W.A. and stuff like that, and I would just rearrange the words and make mm-hmm. it apply to my family, like all my siblings. And you know, I remember doing "Boys in the Hood." I was like 10 or 11 years old, and I was, you know, naming my brother's car instead of, you know, cruising down the street in my 6'4". But I was like changing all the words, so. You know, early on, when I think back to that, you know, I guess there was just something in me that you know, really triggered, and you know, being a writer. So that's kind of like the early stages. And my, you know, my mom sings. My father passed away, but he sang and, you know, played guitar. We used to just jam out in the house. When my parents was playing guitar and piano and stuff, I would have my mom and dad bought me like a small little Casio keyboard, so I would just kind of, you know, play by ear and try to join in on the little mini jam sessions we would have in the household. So it was a lot of those type of moments, man. And you know, but I was a basketball player. So even though I loved music, I was really shy. I'm still a shy adult, but I was extremely shy as a kid. So mm-hmm. I would never tell anybody that I did music, except for, you know, my super close friends knew that I loved it. But if there was like ciphers and stuff at school and high school, I was the dude in the background acting like I didn't rap at all. So, So that's kind of how I got started. And those are the early days.
Go ahead, y'all. If y'all want to jump in there, I know y'all got some dope questions for Six. Go ahead, Jay.
I wanted to ask you about your sports background, because growing up, having a sports background, someone who still coaches, like, on the West Coast, like, what were some of your influences, or what got you into wanting to play the ball? What, like, who were people you looked up to? What were some of your favorite players? What introduced, what brought you to the game?
What introduced me was my father and my brother. My father actually played for the Indiana Pacers in the ABA.
What? So
we got, yeah. It's a bloodline of hoopers. Like,
what's his full name? You know I'm a Google it too, sis. Not playing.
I got you. Everything's Googleable. I think I made that word. Yeah, Jerry Johnson Sr. is my dad's.
Okay.
So that's how I got introduced to hoop. And then my brothers obviously all hooped, and me, being, the youngest, they used to beat up on me. And eventually, but my brother Jerry used to always say, like, Six is going to be the best out of all of us, because he's going to get all the tools from every single one of us. And yeah, by the time I was a junior in high school, I was 5'7". I was dunking off drop step. Like, it got crazy. If you, not during the show, but later go on YouTube and look up.
I'm about to say play that clip. And out of nowhere, you see what you're dunking.
No, it's like 10, it's like a good 10-minute video on YouTube of me banging out on people. And so, yeah, that's how I got introduced to it. And, that's my first love, man. And I still coach. I coach high school basketball now. I'm a head coach, varsity coaching, and I do player development and stuff like that. So I never lost my love for that,
That's what's up.
It's just a blessing to be able to do the two things that I love the most and the two things that I'm most passionate about. So that's a super blessing. But, yeah, that's how I got introduced to it. And then my uncle was a Hall of Fame boxer. Marvin Johnson. He's a Hall of Fame, 3-time light heavyweight champion of the world. And yeah, it's a bloodline, man. It's bloodline. It's real competitive. Yeah. These Johnsons is real competitive.
Yeah, you come from a very talented background. I would love to be in that household with all those musicians in there and just, Thanksgiving, just any regular day. And everybody is just singing and playing music. That must have been like so soulful and spiritual.
It's amazing. Like I got nephews that are, as I see them grow up and stuff like that, they're kind of taking the reins in the music. I was the first one that took it this serious and took it this far.
Yeah.
But I see them going, beyond what I've been able to accomplish over the years. Super talented. My nephew Reese and my nephew Calibri, and
shout out to them.
Vic, and shout out to all my nephews. They're just, it seems like the same thing I did with sports with my siblings, like they kind of did with me. It's like each of them can do, all the things that I can do, plus the gifts that they were automatically blessed with. So it's amazing to sit back and watch and to work with them. So it's really dope.
Right. And I think, too, with the music. Go ahead, Jay.
Now, I just want to say how rewarding it is to be able to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. Like to do it in not only just music and sports and just having people and family members look up to you, like, in your community. Like, people know, like, nah, Six did it. We could do it. Six still out here grinding. And Six is still here in the classrooms, in the school, in the building, in the streets. Like, I just want to big you up for that, because I think a lot of times people lose that common touch, and when you do and accomplish things which you have already, we kind of get out of place, or we lose the focus. And for you to not only have maintained that standard, and it's a high standard of excellence across both boards, I just want to make sure I big you up for that. And just ask you kind of, how do you find that balance, I guess, now as well? Like,
good question.
In between doing both?
You mean from coaching and music?
Yeah.
You have to create the balance, to be honest, because I'm really obsessive as a coach. So I'm always I'm always planning. I'm always... Trust me.
We can talk about this all day.
Yeah, so, like, you know how it is. Like, I'm planning. I'm going through game film. I'm looking at matchups and things like that. So when I'm really engulfed in that, music kind of takes a back seat, which is why it took me so long to complete my project, because I didn't have 2 months to sit down and do it.
Right.
With all the stuff that I do in terms of coaching. Like, so you have to create the balance. That's the only way I can do it, because if you don't do it that way, one of the two are going to suffer.
You're right. Balance is key. And, with the music side, It's definitely a great segue. Shout out to everybody on the Facebook Live checking in. Dawn, what's up, Dawn? I appreciate you. Rob, what up? Afterthought Podcast, we kicking it with my guy, Six John, talented singer, songwriter, producer, man of all talents. I want to know, how'd you get your first break? And who was somebody that, and this is like one of those I always like to know, who was somebody you worked with that you had to like get your shit together with? Like, hold up, I know this is a person, but like, you know, I'm a comedian. I've worked with a lot of comedians, and there was this moments where you work with comedians that we idolize and that we see, you know what I'm saying? And that we aspire to be like, and you know, we align ourselves. When you see them, you be like, you forget, you get groupie mode. So what was your first break, and who was that artist that you was just like, oh my God, I'm like, I know I'm working with you, but this is dope.
you actually, before I came on, you actually said somebody's name. That was my first break. Let's see if you remember.
Neo?
Nope. Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah.
Shaq. Oh, we was gonna ask that. Go ahead. Talk about that.
So great segue. So Shaq was my first break. I was hooping overseas. I was hooping in Greece, right? And I came back from Greece, and you know, a former friend of mine was producing, and he was like, you know, Shaq is looking for writers, like you should see if you could write, you know, to this joint. So I wrote a verse, and you know, I went to the studio, and this is kind of a condensed version, but he, you know, Shaq came in and I was in there. This is my first time meeting him, by the way.
Right.
So he's huge, right, in person.
Dude, he's so huge. So
I look up like, oh shit, like it's really Shaq, right? You know what I'm saying? Like it's him. So
right.
He's like, he said, you finished that verse? I'm like, yeah. He was like, let me hear it. Spit it for me. And so I start spitting the verse for him. Internally, I'm nervous.
Right.
You know, rightfully so. But that doesn't, once I say my first word, it's like in hoop. If you get butterflies or something, once the ball go up in the air, that tip and you touch it, like it's out the window. Yeah. So as soon as I say my first word, all that nervousness goes out the window. So I start spitting and he stops me like four bars. And like, wait. Start over, say that again. And I'm like, okay. So I spit it again. Boom, he stops me like eight bars in. I don't know, start over, do that one more time.
That's crazy.
But by this time, I'm spinning a third time, his hand on me, cause he right here, his hand, big ass hand on my shoulder. All right, so, and he like, so that verse turned into 18 songs on that album. And that song was the first single. Yeah, that song was the first single featuring Dub C. It's called Connected.
Hold on, before you, wait, I gotta throw this in there. That's right, Shaquille O'Neal. My uncle, I was like, the nigga wrote for Shaq? Yes. But my question is, which Shaq did you write for? Was it the Kazam Shaq or the post? Like, cause y'all know Kazam. He's like, my name is Kazam. I got a whole plan. You listen to me. I said, hold on, I know 6 ain't right for that shit.
I was rapping,
I was like, it sounds like it. So I could definitely tell definitely helped Shaq out.
When Shaq was saying stuff like women, dynamic, Caucasian, Asian, black, and Hispanic, that's me.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that was back when Shaq was doing all the like, the world is mine, and
right after that.
Right after mine, that. Okay.
The world is mine. I was super young then. This was I started working with Shaq amidst the three-peat run, that 2001.
Yeah. Oh, got you.
Because I'm a huge Laker fan, been since I was a kid. But I would be at all the games, you know, and then we go to the studio after the game and stuff like that, so.
Nice. Yeah. Those two, and Peter Guns and Lord Tariq and The World Is Mine, that was right when he was leaving Orlando, heading to LA.
Exactly.
Like, Got you.
Peter was still around a little bit though.
Now he has to answer your other question.
Wait, how did you get the break? How did you get that break?
Damn, my bad. I just totally skipped that.
Nah, you good. We got you.
Yeah, so that turned into, you know, Shaq really taking me under his wing. Mm-hmm. And my very first placement where I walked into a record store and saw my name on it. Most people don't know this story. I'm giving it to you.
Go ahead.
Placement is Pootie Tang.
Ooh. Really?
Yes. That was my I walked into a Tower Records or a warehouse and I was like, Shaquille O'Neal featuring 6ix9ine. That was my very first time seeing my name on a CD.
Amazing.
Wow.
That was dope. I'll never forget that moment. I remember where the store was too. Like, I'll never forget that moment. It was
super. So how'd you work with Neo? So how'd you link with Neo after that?
So we kind of same kind of deal, just at the studio one day, or like 2002. And we were working, I just met him that day, and I'm always like quoting movies, like really like obscure parts of movies that's hilarious. And so I randomly did it just in the session, and then he like finished the sentence. And we both like, I'm like, wait a minute, like, you know that, like, don't nobody watch that but me. Like, so we kind of just connected, and you know, we met each other. It was almost like we knew each other forever. And oddly enough, just recently, a yearbook was dug up, and lo and behold, he and I went to the same middle school.
Wow.
See that?
I was an eighth grader, he was in seventh grade, or I was seventh grade, he was sixth grade, something like that. But
right,
wow. It's crazy because we found the yearbook pictures, and he posted it on his Instagram. Like, it was crazy.
So this is kind of like, this is your destiny. Because it has to be aligned.
Even in that moment and finding that out, and that was probably like 3 weeks ago, you know, I text him like, bro, like we really went to the same middle school. That's crazy. He was like, but we always talked about, you know, we felt like we knew each other from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was always, it was like a brotherhood from the beginning. So to think that, oh, we went to the same middle school and didn't reconvene until like 10 years later.
Right.
But we were supposed to, you know, work with each other. We were supposed to have this bond and this brotherhood. And to answer your other question, that's another segue, that's the person that made me step my game up in the studio.
Neo.
I know that's the easy answer. Yeah, and he, you know, he's on another level. But I think one person I worked with that I was like super like tripping was Babyface.
I was tripping
because that was early.
The legend.
That was early. Yeah, that was early in my career.
Yeah.
And I was in a booth and I was looking out there like, bro, like I'm rhyming on a Babyface song right now. That was crazy to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That was really surreal.
Go ahead, Tiff.
So of all the artists and, you know, different people that you worked with over the years, can you remember like one artist that was most, I want to say most impactful on your life and your like learning experience, something that you've taken with you? You know,
somebody that I worked with, or just an artist in general.
Maybe you worked with, or you know, just had a personal encounter with, or interaction with.
I don't know. Like outside of, I don't know if it's somebody that I worked with, but I'm like, you know, I'm a music head, so I listen all the time and I learn, and you know, just like sports is, you know, so synonymous. You see somebody do a move, and then you in the backyard trying to. Right, so I'm the same way with music, and I hear like certain attributes that artists have, and I'm like, how did he get to that? Like, you know, so I'm really, really a student of the game. So I think, I can name a few artists that really shaped me, and not that I've had a personal encounter with Jay-Z because he was the president of Def Jam when Neo was signed to Def Jam, and so at the beginning of Neo's career, I was his DJ. And so Jay was traveling all around and, you know, kind of putting his stamp on Neo, on Rihanna, on Tierra Marie, and group Black Butterfly. So I had, you know, personal encounters with Jay, but I was a huge fan of Jay even before that.
Yeah.
So he impacted he really shaped me as an artist. Eminem shaped me as an artist. Royce da 5'9 shaped me as an artist. That's my favorite MC, bro. Like,
I don't want to interrupt you, but
no, you good.
I so slept on when people talk about lyricists in the game, like Royce, he's just that guy on so many levels.
Yeah,
so, top tier. I just had to say that.
Yeah, no, top tier. Yeah, so there's, you know, people like that. You know, they really shaped my career and impacted me in ways that maybe they'll never know because. You know, when it comes to, you know, me kind of just being therapeutic with music and listening to it, those are artists that I go listen to for certain moods. So definitely impacted my life like that. Stevie Wonder is my favorite artist of all time, though.
Oh, okay. So who, what's your process when you're about to like work on a project? What's your process? Do you have any like rituals or anything, you know, to prepare yourself mentally and creatively for a project?
Sometimes I just go listen to like really dope artists, just because I'm really competitive. So when I listen to them, I get encouraged. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to guys like that, I really, it really makes me step my game up. So that's kind of my process. Or on the flip side, which is the polar opposite, if I'm doing a project of my own, like my album that I just completed, I won't listen to any rap. Because it's almost like hanging out with your friend when you start picking up things subconsciously.
Right.
And I'm like, where did I get that bar from? Or what did I, you know, so... I won't listen to any. I'm listening to Sade, Anita Baker. I'm listening to, you know, Marsha and Bro, like everything else, like not rap, just a lot of stuff. Yeah, so
that makes a lot of sense.
So I just try to avoid it because I don't want to, you know, accidentally duplicate something or take a word or a pattern or something like that. So
right.
Yeah, that's. I don't really have any other rituals. I just, you know, I like to write with the music really loud because I like to feel like I'm inside the beat.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how I navigate through it.
Well, those that don't know, that's tuning in right now, appreciate everybody. We chatting with Six John, talented brother. Not only is he a songwriter, producer, he's worked with some of the greats. And you've also done television. You've you know, done some work with Empire. I want to know what it's like to work with Cookie. No. but you work on set and you work in the environment with that, and also Tyler Perry, you know, the Single Moms Club. You know, those that know follow Tyler Perry's movies. How was that on that
tip? You name the stuff I don't forgot about. I'm like, yeah, Tyler
Perry. But how was that experience?
It's great, man. You know, just, you know, having my name on, you know, films like that. And it goes back further than those. Like my first movie, obviously, was Pootie Tang, but Undisputed and A King's Ransom. And I did, you know, Cat Williams, Pimp Chronicles, Volume 1. I scored the whole film for that in 2006. And Empire was super dope. Neo brought me on for that. And we were both writing. I was writing all the rap stuff, and he was writing the R&B and pop. And it was just, it just made sense, you know, like, because we worked so easy together. And so it's like, yo, you take Hakeem stuff, and, you know, I'll take Jamal. And, you know what I mean? It was just really easy. But I just remember the day that we got kind of signed the ink on for the deal, though. We were all in the studio, and Lee Daniels came in with like, I don't know, 7 or 8 staff members and writers from the show, and a couple of the actors. So it ended up being like 25 people in the studio, and they're playing these songs, right? And Neo wrote all these songs for Jamal, and I wrote a couple of songs just because we started on season 2. That was our first season. So I remember listening to, you know, just kind of knowing the synopsis of the show from watching season 1, and I wrote a couple of songs just kind of based on the story. And so Lee Daniels was like, I never told this story publicly, so y'all getting exclusive right now. So Lee Daniels was like,
okay,
afterthought, you're getting exclusive right now.
So Lee Daniels was like, y'all. Lee Daniels was like, I love all these records, but he was like, this is his words too. He was like, I need some nigga shit. Like, I need some get, and I was like, oh, damn.
Shit, right there.
So I'm like, I'm sitting on the couch. Somebody else is next to me. Then Lee is right there. Then Neo and, you know, my boy Sauce and all of them is over there. And Neo says, play Power, which was the name of the song that I wrote and for Hakeem or whatever. And it ended up being Ain't About the Money. And that was like the biggest song of season 2.
Yeah,
and,
I remember.
So you remember that? So he played that song, and the very first line was like, when I'm in your presence, you can feel the power, even if the company was built from powder. And he was like, got up, like, what? Who did this? Who is that? And Neo pointed to me, and Lee looked at me, and on my dad's grave, he said, you're a fucking genius.
Oh, wow. And
He was like, you know, we heard all we need. He said, make that a duet. Make that Hakeem and Jamal. You know, we played the record loud. It was just, you know, for Hakeem, but he said, make that a duet. And yeah, that was that. Ink was solidified, and that was that.
That's ill. Wow. You know, to be able to, you know, do these things and accomplish so many things. I got one more for you on a serious tip. You know, we all human outside of, you know, what we love to do and things like that. One of the things I know that you did, you had a track called Cotton that you that you had released in 2018. You know, it was in response to the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery. And I noticed you do a lot of activist, you know, stuff in your, you know, with your music and using the platform and speaking to the, you know, the repeated murders of Black folks and things like that. But talk a little bit about that, especially with the climate of our country. You know, we got the debate on tonight, you know, elections coming up. Just talk to
Breonna Taylor.
Breonna Taylor, George Floyd. Exactly. Just talk to some of that before we, you know.
Yeah, I originally wrote the song in 2018. I released the video in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I always kind of describe that song as the only song of mine that I wish would go out of style. Just because of the content.
Just because of the content. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't foresee that happening. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough spot to be in. I'm naturally a homebody anyway, so the pandemic was what I did every day. So, but it does make me a little more mindful of, you know, the simple things, going to the store or having a headlight out or a tail light out, like those things that, you know, you kind of look, you know, you could overlook in some instances. There's just so much attention on that. But yeah, that song, man, it hits home. It makes people uncomfortable. I wrote it that way purposely. I did the video that way purposely. If you guys seen the video, there's a whole bunch of images of, you know, lynchings and our people just getting beat up and you know, all hangings and everything. So I made it uncomfortable on purpose because I just felt like it was important to be a voice. That was kind of like, you know, I wouldn't call myself an activist. I don't feel comfortable having I'm not into politics like that. I don't feel comfortable having like political conversations and things like that, but I'm really self-aware and I'm passionate about my people. And that's why you'll hear me always address situations. You'll always hear me put sprinkles. Grammy is like, you know, that song is about a failed relationship and my ex always tripping on Instagram. Yeah. And so I was able to address even in that song, you know, I'm on Instagram looking at all of these other things that's happening and happening to us. And you can concerned about, you know, an ass pick that I might have double tapped on. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
You could start an argument with me while I'm away from home and I might not even make it home not even make it home tonight. Just depending on, you know, the cop could just be in a bad mood. Exactly.
Right.
They could have had a bad experience with somebody or just woke up on the wrong side of the bed and said, I'm gonna kill a nigga tonight. Mm-hmm. That's reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but reality. I mean, what are they gonna get? Paid administrative leave?
Right.
No, you're right.
That's nothing real. So, I mean, yeah. So Cotton is, you know, it's one of those heavy moments and, you know, it's definitely on the album. It's number three. And, you know, the tagline in the song is, I think once it reaches a wider audience, it's going to be some crazy conversations about that song. Cause I say, if you ain't one person in the US, you should have picked your own damn Cotton.
Yep.
We need
those conversations, brother.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. It needs to be a voice like this in music, a voice like this in hip hop. To kind of go against the grain. You're never gonna see, you know, me talking about, you know, misogynistic things, and I'm not gonna be in mansions in my videos with Lambos and stuff like that. That's not me as an artist. So yeah, you're gonna get what you're gonna get.
Can I say this real quick? As much as you may say you're not an activist, as an artist, the biggest voice for so much activism is in the arts. So we need the things that you're doing. We need what it is that you're saying so that it gets people to start talking. It gets people to start thinking. That's really what it is that we need. And I appreciate you for that because I always tell people, we do a lot of consuming, but we're not doing a lot of processing. We're not doing a lot of thinking. We're just taking it and we're just going through it instead of time to really understand, give it a good, like, it's like we want microwave results, but I tell people all the time, what good meal have you ever had that was cooked in a microwave?
That's very true. That's a hell of a question.
Time out. When I heat up some mac and cheese and collard greens sometimes, it hit.
But that's leftovers, though.
But I get it.
He said cook.
That's leftovers, though.
You know
I said
me.
Cook.
Yo.
But real quick, Six, we talked about all the things you've accomplished, all the great people you've worked with. Is this someone who you want to work with? Or is there a dream person that you haven't worked with yet that said, you know what? I got something that once I put this down, or when I lay this down, I gotta have this person on it, or I want to do it this type of project with this person or this collective, whomever. Like,
yeah, I think one of my dream collaborations is Stevie Wonder. I got a big Stevie Wonder portrait tattoo right here.
Oh, that's dope.
Royce would be dope because I know I would really step my game up for that. Jay, that would be super dope. Those are my dream collabs. That's about it though. It's crazy because I can't really speak on the things that I've done in the past 3 weeks, but I just got some super dope ass placements on things that I produced on artists that y'all gonna see in this month. So
that's amazing.
It's been some stuff that I'm just like, damn, I'm really working with this person right now. It's kind of crazy.
So we're gonna be stalking your page for the update.
Yeah.
Please do.
Definitely are. Stalking it as well. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you taking the time out with everything going on in the pandemic to join the Afterthought podcast. Shout out to everybody. Yeah. Comment and follow him, sixjohn.com, at sixjohn on Instagram. Yeah. Tell us you can't really tell him. Just go to the website, follow his Instagram. And
yeah, it's called, the album. The album is out October 15th. So we out next week.
I'm going to play that Grammy one more time on the way out.
Grammy is popping. Oh, let me just say this too. Go ahead. Like Brian McKnight is on the album. Glass Malone. Oh yeah. It's called Cafe Les Deux. I produce like 80% of my album. I produce Grammy, I produce Cotton, I produce You. So that'll be October 15th. I'll make this an exclusive announcement. I do have official Neo remix.
We can get all the exclusives.
Right here on the app store.
Yeah, I haven't even talked about it yet. I haven't even said it on my Instagram yet, so. But I do that's myself and my big brother Sauce produced. And so that's coming. And we got some features on there that's crazy. That's hella surreal. Y'all not gonna believe it.
Can I ask you a question? I'm gonna have to be the new flex. You're gonna have to send me them records.
Yeah.
I have a question. I wanna know, what do you think about, what's this guy, dang, he's just, he won the Cardi B show. D Smoke, what do you think about him?
He's dope.
I love D Smoke.
I haven't heard a lot of his content, but I did see that he just shot a video with Glasses Malone, who's G Malone is a really good friend of mine. But yeah, I heard a few things from D Smoke, and yeah, he can go.
His album is dope. Yeah.
Is it? Hey, I gotta check it out. You know what? With me too, I don't want to take up all y'all time, but last point, it's hard for me to listen to new artists if I don't watch an interview first.
Oh, okay.
People could tell me this person is like so dope, but I'll never listen to it until I listen to them speak. So that's probably why I haven't like sought out an interview from him, but I need to do it because I heard him rap a little bit. But I would never listen to his album until I hear him speak. But I think he's super ultra talented, so I might watch an interview tonight so I can get that album in my system.
He come from a family of music like you. His mom worked with Michael Jackson and all kinds of people like
that's
that.
Super dope. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check him out.
Oh, really?
R&B. Yeah, that's his brother.
Oh, yeah.
Got that soul. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Six, for coming on here. We got to get you out of here.
Yeah, thank you.
Make sure y'all follow him. Show him love. Give him some love right now. Clap it up.
That's just all mine. Like I said, honor and a privilege. Follow me at SixJohn, SixJohn everywhere. Holla at me.
Be well, brother. Take care.
Appreciate you, Six. Stay up.
All right. Peace.
Shout out to everybody on the Facebook checking in, laughing, enjoying the interview. This is dope. Shout out to Six one more time for coming
on. This is pretty dope, dude.
Very dope.
Super exclusives.
Yeah.
Super exclusives tonight.
Well.
Can I get my t-shirt?
Know what you're going to get.
You said, can you get? You know you can get your t-shirt. I'm gonna fulfill your order, you know what I'm saying, and have one sent up top where you at, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, up top.
But let's keep the show moving right along. Like I said, tonight is about music, artistry. We got to sit and chat with Six John, who was dope. And now we got another artist, singer-songwriter that I know very well. I've gotten to work with him over the years, seen him perform live. He's going to talk to us about his journey as well and some of the stuff he's working on. He's an educator as well, NYC native. But before I bring him on here, let's play his record called Growing Pains. This is my guy, Tim Victor.
I like it.
You can get this on Apple Music and Spotify.
Everything seems so great, cause my heavy like a brick, couldn't push it away. Drowning in my thoughts, I couldn't swim, even when I couldn't win. Because the power will and wouldn't let me in. So awful, did I make a sound? Can you hear me now? I know you see the ground. So
it's called Growing Pains.
Did I make a sound? Can you hear me now? I know you see the ground.
He needs to submit his music to the radio show.
So the growing pains running through, let it all fade away.
This is going on my playlist, by the way, Tim. I know you're probably watching in the virtual world right now. I know what this is, would make this even better. We got to get Gray on the remix. Some smooth.
Got to the super producer.
Yes.
It's a vibe.
It is. I'm going to download the song when we get off this song.
It's definitely a vibe.
Ooh. Driving up the west side in that Uber on a late night. Having some growing pains. I love the live vibe. I love the record. I definitely want to, you know, talk more about that. And he's in the building right now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome
to the
podcast live, my brother from another, Mr. Tim Victor. What's going on, brother? What's good?
Oh, what they do. I'm going great, man. How you doing?
You know, you always got that New York accent, that New York vibe. Let's get right into it. You know, I know you. The folks are going to be getting to know you. I will say this. You're an NYC native. You work with the youth also. But before we get to that, I know you from a lot of places, performing at a lot of venues around New York City, one in particular, Harlem Nights, live music on Sunday.
Big shout out.
And, Tim has done comedy shows. Tim has done a bunch of theater spots, but how did you get your start in music? What was that? What did it for you? And what was your first song? I always wanted to ask you that. And I said, I'm gonna save that one. How did you get started? And what was that first performance like?
Well, I remember, like, I've been singing since I was like 4. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so I've been singing since I was 4 years old, and I started in church. That's where my gift for music started. It was in church. And my first performance, I remember I was 8 years old, and I had to sing for Sunday school. And I think the song that I sung was My Help, All of My Help Coming from the Lord. I think that was the song that I sung. So definitely my gift has definitely started and shaped my gift for music is definitely church. So that's where I started.
Mm. And also, you know, you work with the youth, for those that don't know, how is that balance trying to be an artist, but then trying to go work with, and you know, the demands and meet the demands of our youth nowadays and finding that balance with what you love and, you know, working with kids.
For what you love. So if you really love something, you always make time for it. So for me, my schedule is like early mornings, late night. So I'll be working in school, and then after school, I will have my shows after, or my studio sessions, or my shoots after work. So I always say you make time for what you love. So I always make time for music, because that's what I do it for me. It's healing for me. It's therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. If I don't do it, I don't feel fulfilled. I don't feel purposeful. So you make time for what you love.
Yeah. And what do you do again with the youth? Do you teach? Are you administrator? What do you do?
I really am. I wear a lot of different hats. So I guess you could say like an administrator coordinator. I do a lot of things in the school.
We know you do it everything. Yeah. You're doing everything.
Who's drinking water, guys?
Yes.
Who's drinking water?
Yeah. Okay. Water. This is the best thing that you can drink, okay?
Right. Especially tell him that sparkling water doesn't count.
Oh, come on.
Tell JP sparkling water does not count.
That does not count. That's right. Stephanie, that's right.
That's soda. I got my ascension.
Well, get your ascension. Let's drink.
All right.
So, Tim, I've seen you perform live, but before you go a little later, you know, before we get through the questions and get to know you more, I know the folks want to hear a little something. I don't care if it's a cappella, it's no pressure. I know that's what you do. Okay. Where did you get your musical influence from? I know you said church. Any other family members? Anybody in your family that did music?
Actually, come to think of it, like, I don't really come from a musical family. My family, they're music lovers, but they're not musically inclined. Mm-hmm. So because they're music lovers, and the music that I grew up with a lot of gospel, grew up with a lot of jazz, I grew up with a lot of soul, those three, and reggae, like those four genres definitely have an influence on my sound. Mm. So I would say the kind of music that I do neo-soul. So as you know, neo soul is a fuse of different genres of music. So that's definitely my influence of music. So yeah.
Who's some of your favorite artists right now in the game? You know, you being an artist as well, who's somebody that you look at and you'd be like, you know?
Solange Knowles, Daniel Caesar.
I love her.
Solange Knowles, Daniel Caesar, Moses Sumney. I don't know if you're familiar with Moses Sumney. Sir, I don't know if you're familiar with Sir.
We just talked about Sir.
Yeah, I love Sir. So those are the people right now that I'm really feeling and I'm really loving. Layla Hathaway, Lettucey.
Oh,
Eric Kabadu.
You got a fireball in the Facebook chat for that one. On the afterthought, they just threw a fire up when you start naming.
Yeah, all of that good music, real music. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Tim, question for you, because you probably don't remember this, but I remember seeing you in Harlem Nights on Sunday Live. Joe would invite me after brunch. Mm-hmm. And I remember you performing live. And I'm going to tell you something which stood out to me about you.
Right.
Like, when you were performing, you were so, like, you see artists like who are so into the music. Like, I felt like you were so into your music and your delivery, and I felt it. Like, what is it about performing live or in? And I like an intimate venue like that, where you know the people are really there with you and you're there with them. What about those experiences do you relish? Or when you're in those moments, what are you thinking about, and how are you trying to approach it to reach out?
I'm actually trying not to cry right now. Like, that got it's spiritual for me. It's something that it allows me to express myself that I can't verbally explain, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
It really allows me to connect with people, because I really take it seriously. It's not just going on stage and sounding good. It's a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual thing.
You can see.
You don't know. Anybody could be in that audience that is thinking of taking their own life. There's people in the audience that haven't laughed in a long time. They haven't cried in a long time.
That's based on
what you give, and based on your gift, and based on you being a medium by doing what you're doing, that could save their life. That is how serious I take it. It's not just, obviously you go up there, you have a good time with the music, but it's so spiritual, it's so deep, it's so moving. So every time I do it, I really take it seriously and I really just give it my everything. If I'm not going to give it my all, I'm not going to do it at all. So for me, it's a place where I just get myself in that zone and be like, yo, this ain't just, yes, I'm doing this for me, but as I'm doing it for myself and healing myself, I'm healing other people. So that's how I look at it.
And that brings me to a great segue. Your record right now, I just dropped the link in the Facebook for folks to download, stream that.
It's on Apple Music. That's my baby.
Talk to us about, you know, Growing Pains. What was the influence?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
But behind the record, what is that song about? How did you draw your inspiration to that record? Because it's a dope vibe, bro. I'm putting it on my you know my playlist. You know my lengthy playlist that's going on there, bro. I like it.
Period. Thank you, bro. Thank you. All right. So Growing Pains, I actually wrote that before the pandemic. So my friend and I, we wrote it in March. I believe we wrote it in March. And the start of this year, I was still going through Growing Pains. I feel like the whole world is going through Growing Pains. It don't matter if you're black, white, pink, or yellow. We're all going through Growing Pains.
Right.
And I literally said to her, like, it was just ringing in my spirit, I would hear Growing Pains. I would hear Growing Pains. It would come up in my conversation. I would watch something, would come up in that. It was just everywhere, but I didn't really know what to do with it creatively. And sometimes as creatives, you may have an idea, but you're not really sure what to do with it until you get around other creatives that bring that magic to make something so powerful.
Freak.
So I was literally with her and talking to her about it. And I was kind of like telling her what I was going through in my life. And she's an amazing writer. So we met again for coffee. And then after that, we literally started writing the song, not realizing that we were writing the song. Wow. And I was just like, I really feel like, cause this is my first ever single. Like I've been doing this for years, but this is my first ever thing that I could say is my baby and that I've put out, you know? And smoothly happened. And then I hit up my producer. And I recorded that song the day George Floyd was killed.
Wow. Oh, wow.
It's weird because I'll never forget that day. I woke up that morning with a heaviness, but I didn't know what
May
I was
25th.
Heading for. Yes, May 25th. Mm-hmm. And I literally, because obviously it was the pandemic at that time, and I got myself a bicycle at the start of the pandemic. So I literally rode from Brooklyn to Queens for my session to do that song. On the day George Floyd died. And you know what happened? I fell off my bike that day. I had a really bad fall and I grazed my back and my elbow. But I got up off the floor and I said, listen, nothing is gonna stop me from actually getting this song done today. Mm-hmm. And then to find out that George got killed and then falling off my bike and then riding for like an hour and a half to Queens to get the session done, I'll never forget it. But
word.
That was the process. So I was definitely going through Growing Pains as I was actually
recording the
song. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So it's amazing how like some of these songs that I'm getting, like it's preparing me. It's almost like God gave me the song to prepare for the moment we're living in now. It's weird. So yeah, Growing Pains was birthed. You know, that's how it came out.
And
that's amazing. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The story behind it. I always like to know that. You're a music lover. You know, you consume a lot of music. You know, you have favorites. You know, they have this thing called the Versus Battle. I want to know your take on it. I want to know your take on the vibe of it, because I think we needed that. You know, we needed some sort of entertainment to see some of
that.
But one in particular, I want to know what you thought of the Gladys Knight and the Patti LaBelle. you being a soulful brother, what do you think of that?
I'm still tight about that because I woke up late. So I still haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I woke up late. The last one that I saw was Brandy and Monica.
Yes.
How'd you feel about that one?
It was great. I really enjoyed it. Even though, I'll be honest, Monica's energy was a little off. But apart from that, it was a really good vibe. But the only thing that I would say, if I was one of the producers for Versus, I would have had like a keyboardist that knew their songs and just vibed with them just to give them a good live feel. And have them perform live. So The Boy Is Mine, that would have been dope if they performed it live.
Yeah.
At the end. You know what I'm saying? Just to give it a little bit more of a zhuzh, give it a bit more of a little bit more of a live feel than to just have them just sat there listening to their songs, which I would still have that element, but just have, you know, after the song is playing, they're vibing with it and they just, you know, just singing with
little
it.
Little jam
going
session.
With it, that would have been fire. Yeah,
that would have been amazing. Really
cool. But apart from that, I just feel like it was really good to see two Black women that were celebrating their success in R&B. Mm-hmm. It was really good to see. It was powerful. It definitely shifted the energy of the world. Everybody was definitely uplifted and vibrating from it. So it was really good to see. Like, it was really exciting. It was really good to see that. So that was fun.
We saw that music a little bit when you talk about the gospel influence. If you saw when they had Fred Hammond and Kirk Franklin.
That was beautiful.
And so even though they weren't in the front, you heard but you saw
how the live vibe took it to another place.
That's what I was gonna say. That live music
it made
experience.
It more relatable. Yeah.
That live, hearing live music as a musician, something I think that's missing is actual instruments. Like I miss live instruments when we hear live performances.
Right.
Because something about hearing the music live from an instrument and the vocal instruments that other singers have, it creates an experience unlike any other.
Because if you think about it, we're in a
You just feel it from in your soul. Something in your stomach is just like, it's hitting like right here. And then it's building up.
Yeah, it's a spiritual experience, because I feel like, you know, we're in a pandemic right now, so we're locked away. So we're not, we don't really have that opportunity
connection
to go out and see, you know, and to see live music. So if we're having a versus thing that's virtual, bring that element of live in it, and you will still have, and you may not be present at the place, but you will still have that feeling of when you will be at a live concert, you know?
Right.
I felt like Brandy wanted that experience. I felt like that's what she wanted that. Yeah, like, she was such in a good place, but Monica was like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
I enjoyed Erica and Jill too.
I love them.
Yeah.
Just because it was so good to see them get the flowers that they deserve, which we always talk about here on the show. Mm-hmm. And just seeing them really celebrate each other, hear the different stories. Like hearing Jill talk about how she was singing live on You Got Me, and then Erica was on the record, and then she sang it live.
Yeah,
she had to go sing it live randomly one day out in Philly like, knowing these stories and hearing these queens was just dope. Mm-hmm. Like, you learn so much and you gain so much, and then you don't even forget, but it takes you to a place. Like, those songs take you to a place where it just felt so good, and you remember being at this party or
you
in school at this place. Or at this dance,
certain things, yeah.
It was definitely too.
No, I was gonna say, I just enjoyed, what I enjoyed the most about Erica and Jill is that they got excited about one another's songs.
Yes.
Like, it was just so genuine that it just made me feel good to be a Black woman. Like, yay, we're finally celebrating one another. No one's competing. Right. And this is a battle. You know what I mean? Right. So I loved it. Yeah.
I don't even really look at it as a battle. I just really see it
as
a platform of two artists coming together to really celebrate each other's art. And that is exactly what Jill and Erica, they definitely portrayed that. I just saw two queens. Acknowledge two queens that are very different in their own way, but they stood in their power and their uniqueness and originality, and that's what makes them special, and that's what makes them, that's what makes her Erykah Badu, and that's what makes her Jill Scott. I felt like I was watching two aunties, you know?
That's a fact.
Oh, I'm so proud, you know?
I want to ask you this. You look like you're still at the job right now. You know, you're an educator.
I'm actually at the hair salon waiting.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm about to say he's still at work. No, I wanted to ask you before I get back to the music. You know, you being an educator and working with the youth, with everything going on, it's a two part. Do you often find talent? Like, you ever be in at work and you find a kid singing and you be like, hold up. And the second part outside of talent that you find working with the kids is, how has that been dealing with them being at, coming back to school and the atmosphere with the staff and everything going on with?
Ooh, can I triple? Can I triple? Just real quick, Joe. Sorry. to that next point, because I was thinking the same lines, Joe. How important do you think the arts are for children, for kids?
Yeah.
In that space that you're around as well. That's I was thinking that too.
Okay, no problem. So I work in a performing arts school. So there's a lot of talented people there. And with my title and my job, I just have random kids come up to me and start singing or dancing. Wow. Or I'm a creative soul. So I have to be around creativity. And I feel like I have lived a very cultured life and a very experienced life that I feel like I have a lot to offer to give back to people that look like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So in regards to the second part of the question, the first part of the question, insanely talented students, like, oh my God, my students are so talented. Mm-hmm. Number two, it was back, right? Coming back to school. So the kids only came back to school last week, Thursday, and it's been a little weird because we don't have as much kids in the building as we did before, and a lot of them are remote. So we're not really able to do that much artistic stuff as such. We can only have like discussions about it, but it's not really the same if you're doing things virtually artistically than you would, that it would be physical. So it's been a really weird thing to adapt to, but I guess we just have to adapt to the new normal. However, I just keep encouraging them to do not be discouraged and really still use this time to really express yourself and really put whatever it is that you're feeling into art, you know, because, Nina Simone, I love her dearly. She said, our job as artists is to reflect the times. Mm-hmm. So with us doing that, that's our way of protesting, you know? So with that, I really encourage the kids to just really still be creative, you know, whatever you feel, whether it's good or bad, just really channel that into your art, whether that be drawing, whether that be singing, whether that be rapping, whether that be dancing, whatever that is, just be creative, just continuously be creative. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the arts is 155,000,000% important, so important, because it's been proven that if a child has an outlet to be creative, they are more, they achieve more within their academics.
Does I that agree. Make sense? I agree with that. So yeah. I agree with that statement. Hell yeah.
If they have an outlet. So that's why I'm an advocate. Like whatever school that I work at, I always make sure that they have like some arts program or they're doing something artistic or creative, because a lot of these kids are going through a lot of things, a lot of different, some deep, heavy stuff.
That's right.
And they don't really have anybody to talk to. And the moment you give them the platform to be creative, it moves me to tears. It's so powerful. Yeah. Like, you know, like I can, one student in particular, she loves to dance so much. And her father does not love her dancing. But whenever that girl dances, something happens. It's like, I remember one time she danced and she came off stage and she was bawling, and I literally had her in my arms. She was and that's why I'm telling people, like, this thing, it's not just going on stage to just look pretty and to shake your booty or twerk or anything like that. It's deeper than that. These people are releasing things. They're releasing
it's energy. Energetic. Yeah.
It's energy. You know, they're breaking chains from off of themselves. And it, as I, again, it's a spiritual thing, you know? And it's just, I'm just vibrating now just talking about it, because I just get so excited about it.
It is.
These kids come on stage and do something that they really love to do and really talk about what they're going through in art, in an artistic form. It is so beautiful. And I'm just so blessed to know that God has called me to do something like that, to really, you know, be there for younger people and kind of like guide them as they're guiding me, because as much as I'm teaching them, they're teaching me a lot too.
That's right.
You know, and you know, being a teacher, you know, I'm also a student, you know, so it's just every day I get up, like I go to work, it's a blessing, because I'm actually going to contribute to of themselves. So I feel like the arts is very important, and I feel like we're living in a time where they're trying to take that out of the schools, but please keep arts in the school.
That's right. Please. That's right.
So how do we do that virtually? How are the kids being able to, you know, have performing arts if they're learning remotely? How are they still able to have more outlets?
discussion. So I know in one of the music classes right now, they're doing a project on Black is King, like Beyonce's latest album. So they're doing more like of a presentation, a virtual presentation, or write an essay about, you know, their thoughts or analyzing it. What did she mean when she said this word? What you know, different things to, that is not so much physical, like you're in a room with everybody doing different things, but it's just more like, just about boom, 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 boom. And, you know, it's all about, you know, you got to really talk, you know, challenge the mind.
Right.
Yeah, well, so hopefully that answers your question.
It's crazy, you know, to be able to do what you do, do what you love, and then also help the youth in the future. So I appreciate you always. You know, I'm an educator myself, and I know how that works. And finding balance to do what you love is not easy during the week when you're there from 7, 8:30 to 6:30. People don't understand that, like, as artists, ourselves. So
I remember one time I had a shoot, and that shoot lasted for about... After that shoot, I got home at 7:30 in the morning, and then I had to be at work for 8:15. So I didn't even sleep at all. I just came from the shoot. Right. You know what? It doesn't even, because when you're doing something you really love, it's not even a problem. Yeah. I wasn't even tired until I got home after work.
It'd be like that. I want to get to this because I want them to hear the voice real quick before we get you out of here. And we, you know, you tell us how can we support you, what you got coming up in terms of the music. But hit them with a little, you know, because, you know, but before I do this, you know, before I introduce him the right way again, you know, I had an R&B album that came out back in the day, you know what I mean?
And yo, Tim knows,
shout out to Mr. Ruger, by the way. Shout out to Scrap. But yeah, you know, I'm always telling Tim if he needs somebody, you know, I don't got the baby face, but I got the baby voice, you know what I'm saying? So
let us hear something.
Yeah, not on this episode. We're not gonna do that. Yo. What we're not gonna do is Kamala Harris. What we're not gonna do is coming to the virtual stage right now. This is my guy Tim Victor. Make sure y'all follow him. Give him a little something. Give him a little something for the voice right now. Show him a little, give him a little taste right now.
Birds flying high, you feel high, you know how I feel. Drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new day, it's a new life for me. It's flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Redrifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me and go.
See, cut the check right now. Cut the check.
I want you to submit your music to my morning show, to my radio show. On Fridays, we do a Keep It or Kick It. So we have all independent artists. You submit your music and we play it. And then the listeners get to vote whether to keep it or kick it.
That's going
to
be
I'm going to give you the email so that you can submit your music and your cover art.
Absolutely.
We got your info. I believe so. We got your info anyway.
Yeah,
so
I got it. Yeah,
all right, cool. Take care of you.
All right, thank you. I will do that.
Tell the people, how can they find you? What you working on? How can we support you?
So y'all can find me on Instagram at Mr. Tim Victor. So everything that I do is on my Instagram. What do I have coming up? So I'm working on some new music. Mm-hmm. I'm in a place in my life right now where a lot has happened the last few months. I literally found my dad and my siblings last month.
That's what's up.
So that's been an amazing journey, and I'm currently writing about that in music form. So that's I'm working on that right now. And yeah, I have a band, y'all.
Yo, would you be interested in coming on in the future and doing a little intimate concert, maybe? Coming back on the show virtually and doing a live performance in the future. Once you get the band, do a couple songs. We'll throw the Cash App up there. Make sure they donate, because you know how it is. But yeah, I was thinking that. I said I got to get Tim to perform live too.
That would be a vibe. Yeah, we would love that. So yeah, I have a band. We've been performing a lot out. I mean, not virtually, like outdoors. So right. That's been pretty cool. And as I said, like I found my siblings. So my sister, she has a baby shower coming up this Saturday, and I'm doing a mini concert, but she doesn't know that
I'm doing a mini concert.
We gonna edit this out now.
Not if it's live.
But no, I appreciate you, my brother. That's our time. Dope. I appreciate you. Make sure y'all follow this brother. Follow him, support him. He's in the trenches. He's in the trenches, like Lil Durk say. He's in the trenches, working without you.
And yo, wait, big shout out to 6 John before. I was watching the interview. Like, yes. How inspiring is that? Like, that's so cool. Y'all gotta hit him up. I'm gonna work with him. Sure.
You have to.
That's what this is all about.
He's dope.
I'll connect y'all and make sure. But yeah. Please. I appreciate you, and what we're going to do.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Because we a vibe here. We're gonna play that record on the way out as we outro you. Make sure y'all download that. Growing Pains. Yeah. My guy Tim Victor, NYC native, dope dude. Show him some love, y'all. Clap it up.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you, y'all. Keep up the good work. All right, blessings.
Thank you.
Later, boy.
All right, bye.
You know this shit gonna be in my playlist, y'all.
Yo, I'm adding you.
I'm downloading.
Man,
the 6th,
and we got 6 song on here earlier. We gonna definitely, maybe we gotta get an Afterthought podcast vibe
playlist. We gotta get a playlist.
Especially for artists that have, you know, music in the digital world, we can get them streams by playing it and showing love. So,
question.
Go ahead.
About, like, remember how we had Rick last week?
Yeah.
And he had different things?
Yeah.
Whether it's comedy or music, like, we should put together, like, a compilation.
Of, I like that idea.
We should do, like an album.
Like a playlist compilation, like the Afterthought specials, like, what we think, you know, like our must.
We're
gonna put all those things together because our artists are doing so many amazing things.
Yes.
Like Avery's doing things with her different artists, and they're doing dope things. So it'll be like we could really put a nice compilation of music, comedy.
Yes. Speaking of comedy, before we get out of here, while I got everybody's attention, shout out to 6 John and Tim for coming on.
Yes,
I might as well intro this the right way. Let me bring this up on the screen. We got something going down in Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bring this up on the screen so everybody can see. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. You see that? So you ask, what is this? That's right, Atlanta Comedy Invasion. I will be in Atlanta. 4 shows. You see the squad. Gerald Kelly, the OG. You seen him on Def Comedy Jam, BET, the Apollo Theater. Mark Gregory, Javon Johnson, K Smith. And we got a gang of Atlanta comics joining us. So I just want to know who's coming to Atlanta. You got to bring your mask, though. You got to bring your mask. You're socially distanced, all right? But yeah, get your tickets now. Link is in the bio. I had to promote this and get it out there. If you're in Atlanta, spread the word. But yeah, that's
it. Shout out to the 4-4. Shout out to the 678. That is an amazing lineup. I'm telling y'all firsthand. Of course, Joe's my guy. All of those comedians you see up there, they are some real funny ass.
Yes. Yes.
They some real funny ass guys. You will be laughing your ass off.
And it's four shows. Me. Two shows Friday, the 23rd, two shows Saturday. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to say thank y'all for kicking it with me as always and rocking out. Today was another banger. Shout out to Six John. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my guy, Tim Victor. It's time to go watch the Kamala Harris debate. Yes. It's about that time. Twitter is going ham right now. So I know it was spicy.
No. Did y'all see Trump, though? You know, he said he was not going to sign the bill until he wins the election, until after he wins the election.
But he reneged on it.
And then he said, you know what, Nancy? I'm ready to sign it now.
He's getting on my goddamn nerves.
He's so stupid.
Before we get out of here, tell them how to find you, JP. You already know the vibes. Afterthought Podcast.
At JPC, the number 2, KLUB. You know, that's on the Twitter. That's on the Instagram. I just want to say shout out to my co-hosts. I think we just did another dope-ass episode. If you haven't watched the episodes, catch up because we're doing some dope things. We still got some even more dope guests lined up.
Yep.
Got a potential sponsor I'm going to talk to y'all about when we pop off.
You know how we do.
So, all that being said, we just want to say continue to thank you. Shout out to all my family and friends, you know, always on the check-in, on the live, showing love. We appreciate you. We love you. Shout out to all my Greeks. I know my D9 Heavy with Kamala up there doing her thing, man. You know, I got to hold it down for my D9 Greeks.
Yep.
You know, she may not be everybody's taste, Tiff, but I'm going to tell you this much, though. I gotta try to help be my sisters, keep it where I can. I just want her to be able to be held accountable.
But forget all that. Trump gotta go.
Vote and hold your politicians accountable. That's exactly what I'm saying. Vote,
go ahead, then hold them accountable. Tell us where to find you.
You can find me on Facebook, Tiff Tanto. So that's TIFFTANTO. And that's pretty much it. I host the morning show on the radio at WYWM Radio. And that's Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 a.m. And that's the morning show. And
that show is
find me on here on Wednesday nights with Joe and JP for the Afterthought Podcast.
You already know. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Follow us on social media at the Afterthought Podcast. You can get us on anchor.fm/ the Afterthought Podcast. If you want to support the show, click that sponsorship button, donate $1, $5, $10, or just share our shit, like it, subscribe. We're on all streaming platforms, so you can watch the other 13 episodes with the gang and myself. You can catch up on the past topics. We got some more topics and more guests coming. But yeah, why you?
You can even suggest some topics.
Let us know. afterthoughtpodcast@gmail.com and let us know, or right on here, let us know what topics y'all want to hear about. But we got some more guests coming, more comedians coming through, more music artists, more industry,
more different dope people,
health and wellness coming up. You saw we had the water challenge. I got my water going, y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Got activists coming up, young activists
coming up. So more importantly, continue to follow and support. One more time, thank y'all for tuning in.
You know what, Joe, we gotta do a show with youth. We gotta get some teens some kids on.
We
gotta hear their perspective with everything.
I think we should do that. I think we should do that around election time, like right before the election.
Yeah, we need to hear what they gotta say.
Get some kids.
And because I'm gonna leave y'all on this note, because y'all thought I was being funny about having VHSs. And guess who's sleeping on it, Joe? Guess who featured on this one? Your boy Mike S. How is that just for you?
Shout out to Mike. That's our time. Make sure y'all following us at the Afterthought Podcast. We'll see y'all next Wednesday, same time, same bat channel, 9:30 here on Facebook Live and on all streaming platforms. You can catch us, Afterthought Podcast. I'm Joe Hill. Y'all be easy. Peace.
Later.